Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
10 seconds.
Rolls into it.
Wow, he might get it.
It's all over.
Way of the Warrior.
One of his legs could fight at welterweight, I'm sure.
Probably.
Mount, here's some ground and pound by O'Gara.
I think the first 2 minutes were everything we thought it was going to be, and then after that, it was the surprise of the night.
If it happens in MMA, you hear about it here. Your MMA show, Way of the Warrior.
Is Way of the Warrior, Eric O'Brien, along with Sean Desay of Triumph MMA. And, of course, Joe is handling all of the Twitter and Facebook and any stats or any other actual information, because for the most part, Sean and I just make up what we say.
And he has important information.
He does have important information.
Yeah, and it's accurate.
It's real. Yep. We haven't made it up. And also joining us, soon to be the champ in the UFC, Kevin Lee, making his debut in February. He is here. We will talk to him in a second. Lots of stuff going on. Of course, this weekend, UFC on Fox 10 in Chicago. I will be live at the event.
Nice.
So I will be covering it via Twitter and Instagram and those sorts of things. So if you want to see what's going on inside the venue, you will be able to do that, as well as Joe will be running our Twitter and Facebook at Wow Show. Main event, Sean, Benson Henderson and Josh Thompson, which I think should be a really interesting fight.
Stylistically, yeah.
Stylistically, and, you know, we talked earlier this week. Pettis wants to be back July 5th, I believe, and he wants Benson, which I thought was odd. Like, how many times do you really need to beat a guy?
Yeah, I'm not really interested in that fight.
Why? I don't understand why he is. Why do you think Pettis would want to take that? What would be the point? You ended, I don't know.
I mean, before the armbar, I mean, he was kicking his ribs so hard to the point where Benson's face looked like he was in so much pain. I mean, he just kept kicking him. I mean, maybe he wants to kick him some more. I don't know. I have no idea. But
it seemed like a weird choice to me. And I know that Joe asked that on Facebook. Like, do we really want to see a trilogy? He already beat. You know, it would
be. Yeah,
like,
it's not a trilogy. It's 2-0.
Right, it's not a trilogy, and it would be, to me, it would be like seeing JDS Kane again. I don't need to see that again.
I think maybe because they still have Benson ranked number one. That's the only thing I could think of.
I need to talk to my friends about this whole ranking thing, because it's not, you know, it's not really working out.
Right.
So we don't need to see a third one of these things.
No. I mean, obviously Josh was supposed to fight Anthony Saturday night.
Yep.
So that was supposed to happen. Didn't happen because of his injury. Obviously, if Josh beats Benson, there's no doubt they're going to give it to Josh in July.
And do you think that's a possibility? Because we're looking at a fight here where you've got Benson Henderson. Most people who have followed the UFC, of course, know who Benson is. They may not know who Josh is, given the fact that he's a transplant from Strikeforce. Explain to people who may be tuning in on Saturday night and not really know a lot about Josh the chances of him beating Benson.
I mean, it's a good chance as long as you know, Josh keeps it on the ground. I mean, on the feet as much as possible. I think that's his best bet is the striking. But I think Benson might be a little bit quicker, you know, because he's very explosive. He can come in and out faster. The only way I can really see Josh, well, I mean, Josh, they both can win and they both can lose. I think Josh might lose.
Thank you for that.
Yeah, well, because I don't want to say, like, one's going to dominate the other.
I just wanted your insight as a coach, you know, because we're going to talk to Kevin Lee here in a second about the fight in February. But as a coach, when you're looking at these two fights, I just wondered if you're new to the game or maybe you've just tuned in the last 3 months and kind of got into MMA, you're not going to know who Josh is. And you may go, well, this other guy had the belt, so I'm not going to watch this because clearly he's going to win. And that's not necessarily true.
Yeah. If Josh goes, like, with his fight name, if he goes in there and acts like a punk and bullies him around and beats him up, then yeah. I mean, because Benson, when he gets hit, obviously whenever Anthony's hit him in both fights, Benson doesn't like it. He backs up. And Benson Henderson fighting backwards is not a very good fighter.
He needs to set the pace then.
Yeah, definitely. But I think and Josh can set the pace and he can fight forward. He can fight backwards a little bit better than Benson. The only thing about Benson that I'm not a fan of, but it helps him win his fight or not finish, but just win.
Win him.
He can grind and grind and grind and keep going and wrestle and do all that stuff. And, you know, he's very hard to submit. Not too many people have submitted him. We've seen him get out of crazy submissions.
Yes, yeah. Just not arm bars, though.
Yeah, just not arm bars. But, you know, just in the long run, I want Josh to win because I really don't want to see Benson fight Anthony. So I'm definitely rooting for Josh on this fight.
And then Stipe Miocic taking on Gabe Gonzaga, which I think should be a fun fight, if not one that kind of is a bit on the arbitrary side. You know, there aren't really a lot of... If Stipe wins this one, it doesn't really move him very much up the rankings. And if he loses, it's not a great loss on his record.
No, it's... I mean, I think it's an interesting bout, but... Gabriel just he needs to reinvent himself a little bit more. I think,
but this is a good fight for him because
it's a great fight for him
because Stipe isn't a guy who's going to show you something surprising.
Well, no, and what Stipe did a big country, I think that should be his game plan for this fight as well because Gabriel's not the fastest guy in the heavyweight division,
right?
And
yes.
He should just run around the block with him a few times.
Donald Cerrone and Adriano Martins, and then of course Darren Elkins and Jeremy Stevens. They are starting this whole Fox card with a banger. That should be an absolute war if on paper anyway. I mean, you know, we've been proven wrong time and time again, but Stevens and Elkins should be a great fight.
Yeah, Jeremy can throw bombs, man.
Yes, he can.
That dude, when he hits, oh wow. I mean, he's got one of his highlight reels is like that huge uppercut. Remember that uppercut he landed and that guy just totally pancaked out. Oh my god, that is like, and the way he loaded it up too, like he just like in baseball, you know, when you have to throw, you know, the skip hop move or whatever. I'm not a baseball person. I don't know what that
is. But nor do I. So.
Yeah. So they come in. And, man, that's how he threw that uppercut. And, and you remember what he did in Brazil? Woo.
Yeah, absolutely.
He made some fans, but he made a lot of people angry, too, at the same time. It was like instant, you know.
Certainly did. The prelims start on Fight Pass. If you have not checked out Fight Pass, it's still free for the entire month of January and February. They start charging you on March 1st. And then they move to Fox Sports 1. And as we've told you, they always put a great fight or what they think will be a great fight as the last one of the prelims to get you to go over to Fox. And they're bringing out, we talked about Anthony Pettis here a second ago, they're bringing out his undefeated brother to take on Alex Caceres. So that should be a good fight, a spotlight fight, I should say, in Chicago for Sergio Pettis, don't you think?
That's a 135, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Undefeated Sergio
Pettis.
I keep
thinking Sergio's a 25-er. I don't know
No,
why.
He's a 35-er.
Yeah, but I keep thinking he's a 25-er because he's the little brother.
He is, yeah. Not actually, though.
Well, I mean, like in the face, he looks like he's 12.
He does, yes.
Yeah, that's the funny part.
He does for sure. So that is going on, obviously, live from Chicago on Saturday night. And then next week, we get Super Bowl. But before the Super Bowl, we get the Super Bowl before the Super Bowl, if you will. And joining us right now, making his debut in the UFC. You won't need those. Just pull that down. Kevin Lee is with us. My friend, how are you?
What's going on, Lee?
Nada, what's going on with you? How's camp going?
It's going great, you know. Day by day, I'm just taking it easy. So,
is this any... Maybe this is a dumb question. Is this any different?
Going easy. Whatever.
Well, I know you're showing me that he busted up your lip.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you should probably eat more because you're getting down too small. And
yeah,
probably
he should probably move his head a little more, too.
And move your, I believe a good coach would tell you to, you know, keep your guard up. And
I love training the guy, but being a sparring partner kind of.
I can only imagine.
Yeah.
You know, so. How is this? Has this been any different for you, or is this kind of has it gotten to you? Are you thinking about it yet, or is this just the job at this point?
Yeah, you know, mindset wise, you know, when I first started this, I thought, you know, it's gonna be relatively easy. Wake up, you know, go train and go fight. But I'm really starting to realize that this is a 40-hour job. You know, I've thought about Al maybe like 12 times since I sat here. So, you know, I love it.
Is that something, Kevin, that is the visualization part? Is that something that you do naturally or is that part of camp?
Yeah, it's something that I've always done, you know, and it's something that I will always continue to do. And I love doing it. I love that, you know, it kind of encompasses my whole day, you know. I don't really get a break from it and I don't want a break, you know. I wake up and I grind until I go to sleep. So,
what was that call like when you finally and we, you know, you and I have been talking for probably 2 years about this moment, and it finally comes. What was that call like?
Yeah, it was good because you finally got me on the show. You know,
that is a lie. You've been on the show 3 times, dude. Calm down.
You know, he's been. I get on Fox, and then he wants to get
me on
the
show. Yes, because now I want to talk to you. Yes,
exactly.
Now, because you're gonna big time me. I'll big time you right back. I don't want to talk to you. On Fox.
It was great, you know. It's like a dream come true, you know. I was really close to signing with other organizations and stuff, but as soon as I got the call from them, I made the decision right away. So it was awesome.
And this is obviously a big moment. It's one of the biggest events in the UFC calendar. You know,
yeah,
Super
and they
Bowls,
brought out all the stops.
They did bring out. They finally made the call to bring out all the stops. Sean, how has camp been going? How do you feel where you are? I mean, we talked last week, but where are we at right now?
Even better than last week. It's last night was a great training session, and the night before that was, we did a great strength and conditioning. So I mean, everything's going perfect, and his weight is actually better. It's actually the number that we're at right now is the number. I mean, I'm more satisfied. I want him, like, usually he's a little bit, couple of pounds heavier, but he's eating a lot. So it's not like he's cutting meals, and it's just like the training that we're doing is, it's just taking over. You're going to lose the weight regardless, and it's everything that he's doing right now, like even just his little, baby jabs, they're hurting, man. I mean, it sucks. He's all his punches have good thud in them now. So, I mean, everything's going great. We leave, obviously. We have to go a little bit early. So we're going in to New Jersey on Tuesday.
Gotcha.
So my plan is to finish his camp all the way up to that Thursday, get him weighed in on Friday. So, we still got more work to do.
More work to do, yeah.
We're not going to take a break.
So, Kevin, for people who may not have been following your career when you were on the local and then the pro circuit, mm-hmm. What's the ideal way for you to finish this night, aside from a win? I get the win part. Do you want to knock him out? You want to sub him? What do you want to do?
I want to knock him out. Mostly I'm always looking for the knockout. So, most of my submissions have actually come from either me dropping the guy or the guy getting sick of striking and he's going to take me down. So I'll take the win however I can get it. But if
you could draw it out on paper in the visualization, you want to knock him out.
It'd be a clean knockout. But, 95% of the fights end up going to the ground at some point. So if it does go to the ground, I'll submit him. But I'd knock him out clean if I could.
So what does next week look like for you guys? You fly out on Tuesday, and then how much press are you doing? What do you have to do? What is that whole – walk us through, if for people who aren't on the inside or get to film a prime time, what does that whole thing look like?
Yeah, we'll find out when we get there,
Yeah.
They don't even give you a primer?
They just kind of throw you
into it? They kind of gave me a little itinerary of what's going on, but, it's just media, trying to schedule training throughout that, But I don't know exactly yet until I get there. So
now, Sean, do you guys have people in that in that area to kind of figure out where you're going to train? And that,
what's funny, man. There's a little story about that. One of my old strength and conditioning coaches in Vegas. He's from Jersey, and he found out that we're going there to fight. So he hits me up right away. Hey, Sean, you're coming out. Hey, this is what we're going to do. And he had all this stuff planned out. After the fight, before the fight, go to his gym. Do all this stuff, and then try to stay an extra day, do like a striking seminar, and then, an MMA seminar and all that stuff, and just do this whole thing with his gym. And I was like, yeah, perfect, man. And then we get to hang out, catch up. And then, 4 days later, he calls me back up. He's like, you didn't tell me you were fighting Al? And I was like, I didn't pick the opponent. Joe Silva did that. And he goes, but he's out of our gym. And I was like, if we, chances are we're going to smash the guy. Don't you want us in that gym doing the seminar instead of having him come back? And then and then all he could say was, good luck to you, brother. I was like, oh, it's like that, coach. All right, cool. But it was funny, man. I like that guy a lot, man. He's Robert Navone. He's one of the best. He's cornered a lot of good fighters. He's a good strength and conditioning coach. So,
Kevin, how excited would it be for you to win Fight of the Night that night? Like, if you two went to absolute war and you get the victory you want, you get the knockout, but you get it late, so you guys have had enough time to kind of set the pace for the night, how cool would that be?
It's definitely a possibility. I've seen a lot.
He's a tough fighter. You're not going to roll him over.
I don't expect to, but
Sean, that's Sean's job is to talk trash.
Mine too.
But in reality, this could be a great fight.
No doubt. Especially with it being in his semi-hometown. He's from New York.
Yep.
Fights in New Jersey. So, I'm expecting him to have a hometown crowd, and whenever you do, I've been the underdog in a lot of these fights.
Right?
Pretty much.
That's kind of been the story of your career.
Yeah, I go in and I had to beat the hometown kid and make the crowd hate me. And when I'm in that position, it makes for a great fight because the crowd gets behind the other guy and they hate me and I make them really mad. So, as long as people are emotionally invested in the fight, that's it. But I've seen a lot of his fights before going to the UFC, and he throws down in each one of them. So I'm expecting him to he's an aggressive guy. He comes forward, I come forward, so we're either going to meet in the middle or he's going to back up. So that's the only.
And speaking of being the underdog on, I think it was his sixth fight or something like that, we were out in Winnipeg, and we smashed that guy in like 46 seconds after the fight. And he was a huge hometown favorite. After the fight, it was like, 30 or 40 people wearing his shirt. It was like this red shirt with white.
Yeah, man, you trying to come after me.
Dude, it was like 40, remember 40 people came up to us, and it was me, Kevin, and one other fighter, and we dropped our backpacks, and we were like, "Hey, ready, boys?" I like, training hasn't stopped yet. And then finally, like, this lady comes up, and she's like, "You beat my son." And we were like, it was a good fight, and he's a good fighter. And she goes, "Well, I hate you, but congratulations." And we're like, okay. And then they all were like trying to buy us beers and stuff. But man, at first, man, in Canada, all these red shirts walked up. Bro, I was like, all right, Kevin, let's.
Seems like you guys got
round two's about to start.
A little taste of what Chael's going through in Brazil right now, it sounds like.
Well, I heard he recruited Vanderlei now, and Vanderlei's working. He's his assistant, and you guys didn't see that?
He's my favorite.
That's what Chael said. He's like, look, everything about him is true, or what? What did he say, Joe?
I've taken over both teams.
There you go. That's what he did. That's Chael for you.
And he said everything about him is true except his eyebrows, his forehead, and his record in pride.
That's what it was, yeah.
All right, when we come back, we got more stuff to talk about. We'll talk a little Anderson Silva. Ed Sora is making the rounds this week. Said something kind of odd, which may explain a little bit of the delusion of Anderson Silva, and we'll talk about it next. It's Way of the Warrior, your MMA show. Okay.
The Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior. Eric O'Brien along with Sean Desay from Triumph MMA, one of the soon-to-be names that you will remember in 2014, also from Triumph MMA. Kevin Lee is with us. Joe is running Facebook and Twitter and keeping us up to date on all the stats that we're attempting to talk about but probably do incorrectly. And as I said in segment one, Ed Soares was doing the rounds, and you've heard this weird thing from Anderson that he didn't really lose the fight. Tommy Toholt, of course, has this running gag with Anderson that Anderson keeps saying that he had him right where he wanted him and he was going to use a triangle on him with a broken leg. You know, so there's these sorts of things going on, which tongue-in-cheek seem funny until you hear Ed Soares say things like this.
I do think he'll make a full recovery, and I do think he'll be back. And I haven't lost any belief in Anderson Silva. I believe in him just as much now as I've always done, you know, as I always have. I still think he's the greatest fighter of all time. And, you know, and hats off to Chris Weidman. You know what I mean? He beat Anderson Silva twice. I mean,
but do you think because a lot of people, again, were saying fans, like, well, he didn't really beat him.
Well, regardless, he won the fight. I wouldn't say he beat him, but he won the fight. He won the competition. And you know what? You have to congratulate him. What he's done, nobody's ever been able to do.
So I don't know. I mean, if there's a mysterious metric, and maybe next week you'll be able to tell me if there's another metric other than winning that they actually measure in the UFC that Anderson was able to.
I don't get it.
I don't either.
You knock the guy out the first time.
Yep.
You break the dude's leg.
In the second one.
What more damage? I mean, I thought Ed was a good manager. What more damage do you want to do to your best fighter you ever had under your belt? Why would you put him in another fight with Chris Weidman where he's just going to get hurt again?
Well, and more to the point, none of this is really necessary because I think everybody, and Kevin, you're obviously a fan of the sport and somebody who fights in this sport, I think everybody would universally say you are not going to hear any complaints if you want to do GSP Anderson even today. We will all sign
Or Anderson and Roy Jones do the boxing dream.
We'll
match,
sign up for
whatever,
either one of those. You don't need to tell this weird unicorn mythology that...
I'll say, I get it.
Unicorns exist, by the way.
I know, but not in the UFC yet.
I 100% get it. You know, you got to, when you're a fighter, you got to have that confidence, you know? And, you know, I don't like when people say that, you know, oh, so-and-so is making excuses for why he lost. You know, I'm going to make excuses, you know what I mean? If you lose a fight, I think, especially when you go on such a long undefeated streak like him, he wants to know why, you know? He wants to still have that confidence about himself. And for Ed to say, you know, Anderson didn't really lose the fight, that's keeping the confidence in Anderson if he ever does want to come back.
But do you think he should say that publicly or private? Like, I don't mind privately if you want to have this discussion that, look, you were doing all of this stuff awesome. He caught you. That's why your leg broke. Let's get back in there and do this thing. But when I hear stuff like that, and I'm a layman, you know, I've trained in jiu-jitsu, I've trained in boxing, but I'm not an athlete in that regard, so I would never say that I am, nor have I ever been in the position that you're in with actually entering the octagon to compete. But when I hear that stuff as a layman, it sounds delusional. Like, I saw both of these fights. He handled
true.
You.
True, it does, but... At the same time, you know, like I said, it's...
Sounds
I,
like
I
his name should be Ed Sore Loser.
Okay. What are you, Cole Miller now?
Who's Cole Miller?
Well, like I said, I think it's more for Anderson and his confidence and to build, if they ever do a third fight, the hype behind the fight, because we're talking about him right now. So
Would you watch that fight?
Yeah, I mean, of course I would.
Would you really, though? I mean, you'll watch it, but, like, would you be excited?
Would
if
I be
went?
Super excited
about
it?
Would you be invested into the fight?
Would I,
with Henderson and Pettis?
I watch every fight, so, you know.
Yes, but, like,
I
guess what I'm asking is take yourself out of what you do for a living. You watch every fight because it's part of what you do. It's your job at this point. Yeah. As a fan, are you giving me $80 to see that fight? Are you giving me $300
to sit? I'm going to give you $80.
You know what I mean? Are you giving me $300 to sit front row? I don't know that you're going to do that.
Yeah, I get you. I mean, it could still be an interesting fight, you know. I'm not saying it happens immediately, but if they do, you know, down the road. I personally don't want to see Anderson fight again. I think he should have retired.
At all? Not at all?
I don't see a reason to. If anything, come back, do the GSP fight, and then retire after that. There's no reason for him to fight. Chris again at all, but you know, if anything it keeps people, because the first time that Chris beat him, you know, Ed said, well, he's just playing around, you know, and it kept that mystique about Anderson.
But there was those variables that you could apply that to. He was messing around pretending he was knocked out and then got knocked out.
You can say that about the second one. He was messing around. He was just getting started before he broke his leg. You know, that's what you can.
The only way I think anyone would be interested, really interested in watching this fight again, is if Anderson, in which he'll never do because of his status, but if he did like what Vitor did, you know, you lost. Go back and run a tear through everybody. Start knocking everybody out in the first round and earn your way back. Then I'm sure everyone's like, dude. Well, Anderson just finished four guys in less than 2 minutes.
Sure.
And then everyone would be like, yeah, well, let's buy this fight. But
let me offer you a different scenario. Sure. Let's pretend you just said he's too old. Let's pretend he's 30 as opposed to 39, right? Okay, sure. For this. If we wake up the morning after the Weidman-Vitor fight and Weidman annihilates Vitor, I don't think anyone wants to see Anderson a third time, because I'm going to tell you there's nobody at 85 that'll beat Weidman. If he does what I think he'll do to Vitor Belfort, you've got your new quote-unquote Anderson Silva. This is a guy that you're going to have to dethrone.
I would agree with you. And then if he can run through guys like Jacare and, you know.
See, that would be my next fight. If he beats Vitor, get Jacare in there right away.
But for guys like us who love this sport, that's one you
kind of... Like, Anderson's not in the equation anymore.
That's one you salivate over. Because Jacare's like that guy that's got that mystique about him, and you just love to see him fight.
And we want to know more about him.
Yep.
We want to see more of his fighting style, too. Yeah, I mean, I think we all agree that Anderson should just kind of walk away, man. Like,
I think a great fight for him down the line, too, that people are kind of looking over is him versus Brad Tavares. You know, Brad doesn't have that excitement.
Chris
of
or?
Chris, yeah. Yep. Chris Weidman and Brad Tavares. I think if he runs through Vitor, you know, beats Jacare, and then he gets Brad Tavares, and I think
you don't think Tavares needs to have some more, like, I mean, his last fight he won, but it wasn't really pretty.
Yeah,
don't you think he needs some more iconic wins to kind of...
In that time span, that's what I'm saying. He fights Vitor and then Jacare. That gives Tavares more than enough
like
time.
Like a year and a half, probably.
Yeah, yeah.
Tavares'
more
next
wins.
Opponent should be Tim Kennedy.
Yeah, someone like that.
And I think Luke Rockhold should be fighting. Who's Tim Kennedy fighting next? Someone?
Michael Bisping?
Bisping, yeah. I think Rockhold should fight Bisping.
And he and said that, you know.
Yeah, but it's not happening. It's actually Kennedy. And then I think Tavares should be fighting Tim Kennedy. I think that's a better matchup.
Bottom line is I like the fact that the middleweight division is very
stacked.
Exciting now. You know, it's very stacked. For years it wasn't, and now it's finally coming up with the rest of the welterweights and the lightweights and stuff like
and
that.
And even to some extent the heavyweights. There's that division right at the heavyweight where you get those those top 10 guys. It's kind of, you know, it's a shark tank up there. And you know, you alluded to lightweight has been crazy. 170 is still, even without GSP, is still nuts.
No,
you know?
Doubt.
Yeah. And
speaking of excuses, what was Josh Barnett saying about his 12-step recovery
program?
His 12-step
recovery program, I think 6 through 12 were kill.
Kill.
So
yeah.
those aren't really steps. But he needed to get rid of distractions, leave camp, blah, blah,
oh,
blah.
Oh, those
blah,
were
blah.
His excuses?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. And then Travis Brown said, you know, the golden rule is you don't make excuses for losing. So yeah. Bear in mind, the soon-to-be heavyweight champion of the UFC says don't tell anyone your excuses. So maybe keep, you know.
I mean, whatever you works
think,
for you.
You think Brown's going to be the next
I'm
champ?
I'm telling you right now. I'm calling it right now.
Oh, wow.
By the end of 2014, he will be the guy that faces Kane, and he will win the belt. I'm
yeah.
telling you right now.
Yeah, look at E, get off.
Telling you it right now. Feel free to send the emails.
Okay, I can wait. See it happening.
I'm surprised, you know, Ken's not here to throw in that other guy's name. Don't say it. No one say it.
Nobody will say it.
Junior Dos Santos?
A guy that I despise as a...
The show is going so well. I don't want it to... He'll,
but you know what I'm saying.
He'll be done for the rest. I mean, for the next 10 or 15 minutes.
Carry on.
Hendo is going to be fighting Shogun in March. He just signed a new six-fight deal with the UFC. What's interesting about this news...
Wait, Dan Henderson signed a six deal.
What's interesting about this news, and Ken has talked about this a lot, is the pay structure in the UFC. And Dan had to physically take a pay cut in order to sign the six-fight deal.
Damn.
And so
sucks to get old, huh?
It does suck to get old, but we just talked about it with Anderson. Dan says, and he goes on in the interview, which I think is on the Facebook page. If not, we'll put it up there, that he says, look, the UFC is, it sucks. I had to swallow my pride, but they're allowing me to get back to my old form. They're going to sign me to six fights, give me the shot to get back in title contention. And yeah, I had to take a pay cut, but I can figure out the money elsewhere in fight of the night, sub of the night, knockout of the night, or whatever. But they're giving me one more shot to take a run at this thing. And to Ken's credit, he's talked a lot about needing some of these guys to headline Fox cards.
Yeah, like, yeah,
people
yeah.
are going to watch Hendo headlining sure. a Fox card, yeah. and you need these guys around. The Rich Franklins of the world, I mean, you haven't heard much from him, but he's still technically signed to the UFC and a guy that I think most people would watch on Fox if you found something interesting enough for him. So Hendo took a pay cut. We talked last week about Michael Johnson wanting to fight Nurmagomedov. Nurmagomedov said, no, that's okay. He, I think, might be a better fight and one that would certainly put him on the radar to fight a guy like Nurmagomedov. He will be fighting Melvin Gillard at UFC Fight Night 37 in London as Ross Pearson is out with a knee injury.
That's an interesting fight.
That's a really interesting fight, you know, and one obviously you're really excited about.
So Michael Johnson, just to be clear, is fighting.
Fighting Melvin Gillard, which I think is a really interesting fight, especially with Michael on this new tear. I think he's looked better and better in every single fight. And while he's not ready, and we talked about this last week, I don't think, and Kevin, you can jump in here, I don't think he's ready to fight a guy like Nurmagomedov, but Melvin Gillard is a great test to get him for people to be excited about.
You know, as crazy as it sounds, I think he has a better chance versus Khabib than Melvin. You know, I think Melvin's physical skill is well beyond his record. You know, Melvin's crazy.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, and with Melvin, I think that you're taking more of a risk. You know. Because anything could happen. With Khabib, Khabib's a great wrestler. You know, Khabib's got
you kind of know what you're going to expect. You're going to get slammed. Yeah. You're going to get taken down.
It's
you're going to get beat up.
In a way, and this is, might not be a fair comparison, but in a way, it's like fighting Ronda. If you let her touch you, she's going to dump you on your head and submit
you.
But
I also think Michael's learned from his – because when his fight with Jury, you know, he kind of got held down. And ever since then, you see when he fought Gleison, Gleison tried to take him down, and Gleason's got one of the highest takedown percentages
–
in the UFC, and you know, you can really tell that Michael's really been working on not getting held down anymore, especially by bigger guys. And I think he would have done much better versus Khabib, because Khabib's striking is still, you know, it's not as up to par with Johnson, and Johnson's a southpaw, so that kind of helps in the takedown defense.
Well, helps in the takedown defense and makes it hard to train if you're not used to a southpaw.
Exactly,
you know?
Exactly. Yeah.
So
against Melvin, he's taking more of a risk.
And Melvin and Johnson are former teammates.
They are, in fact, former teammates. But what I think,
for a short period of time, because like Melvin just went and trained with the Black Zones for like a brief moment,
yep.
and then.
But
so,
Kevin,
that'd be kind of cool.
You should like this way that the UFC is running, because they obviously want to put Khabib in a spotlight fight because he's a really exciting fighter that's undefeated. You're in a similar stance. If, you know, you win next weekend, you want them to kind of put you on a path you know, they want to get Nurmagomedov in a place that everyone can say his name. That's the problem with him right now, is that you know, you don't want him to win the belt because you can't pronounce his name. You know, we want him, and we obviously do this for a living, but you want to put guys like that. You know, you don't want people to mispronounce Jacare. You want to put these guys out enough so you go, oh, yeah, that's a Jacare guy. And so you should be excited about that they put you on a path to get you some fights so that you get more spotlight. And they want to obviously put Nurmagomedov out where people can see him. This is a great thing for Johnson because people know Melvin Gillard, and if he beats Melvin, that's a great look for him.
Yeah. If he beats him in the stand-up game, too, that's even huge for Johnson.
It certainly makes 155 really hard to navigate, especially, we talked about in segment one, especially if Pettis is going to mess everything up by wanting to still fight
155 is a shark tank, you know. The top 25 guys could all be champion at any given day, you know. Johnson could be a champion, and Melvin could have been a champion a long time ago, you know.
If he had gotten rid of those distractions earlier, yeah, there's no doubt.
Yeah. You know,
I think his, if he would have beat Donald, he would have been really close to that title shot.
Mm-hmm,
and he had Donald hurt too, man, you know. So another former teammate that he had a fight. This faced again with Johnson. I think it's going to be a great fight. That's actually more interesting to watch. Now.
It's going
to
be a great fight. Yeah. But speaking of great fights, we've had you on for about a half hour. I want to say thank you, Kevin, for stopping by.
Thanks for having me.
Wish you the best of luck next weekend. We are so excited about this.
Thank you, sir.
I know technically you're going to shout out to Detroit, but Grand Rapids would like to embrace you as our hometown son.
Detroit's first, but then, of course, Grand Rapids. I love training here, and I love being here. It's a totally different feel, and, you know, the people are awesome, and, you know, but Detroit's my home, so I'll always.
And we, like I said, we get that. We just want to let you know that we're excited that you're fighting out of here, and this should be a really cool thing for the city. If people want to follow you, is Facebook the way or Twitter? Which one do you like?
Facebook's a little bit easier. I'm on Facebook a little bit more.
Okay.
How
do they find you?
Search Kevin Lee, the Motown Phenom, or follow me on Twitter at Motown Phenom, and I'll give you the links and all that good stuff. But when I'm this close to fight, I don't really.
If people want to be fans of you, and
no doubt,
and look, I am giving you the chance right now. I'm giving you the chance right now, my friends, to get on this first, because February 2nd, if you join his Facebook group, you are officially a bandwagon fan.
Oh, yeah.
I'm telling you right now to look him up on Facebook right now, because then you can say, I was there before he fought in the – you don't want to be that person Sunday morning. He's like, who is that guy who won Fight of the Night?
At Motown Phenom.
Just don't come on the air and be like, don't you ever talk about me. You know what I mean? Don't be that guy.
You totally can. You can totally go, you know, this is what happens when you mess with the best.
I will, baby.
Don't you ever talk about me.
Yeah, that guy's actually pretty smart.
Graduating from Stanford with 3.9. Yeah,
3.7. Like yeah.
Graduated from high school with a 4.2. The guy's no idiot. Yeah. Like I said on Facebook, if that dude's a thug, I long to be a thug. Because that's where it's at. It's Way of the Warrior. We'll be back next. Stop. Drop. Shut it down.
Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior, Eric O'Brien, along with Ken Evans, talking about everything going on in the world of mixed martial arts. And one thing we have not touched on at all this show is Vitor Belfort. We talked about him a little bit earlier in relation to Anderson Silva, and how if Chris Weidman is to beat Vitor Belfort, we probably would never want to see the Anderson Silva trilogy with Weidman.
What if he beats Belfort and then Anderson Silva beats Belfort? In the comeback.
Yeah.
You didn't expect that one, did you?
Sure. And then we sort of talked about that. But here's what's interesting is it looks like Vitor and Weidman will happen at some point this year. I believe March, April area, maybe even later. But Vitor says he's going to apply for TRT, but the Nevada Athletic Commission says that's going to be an issue.
Yeah, Nevada has pretty much had a hard line on this since this has started, where they don't want fighters to have to fight with TRT. And I think they have a good case here in this regard. And I'm not one to really praise the NSAC a whole lot. But if you actually need the TRT, there's probably other things going on in your body. Ways that you trained when you were coming up in the system. Maybe you used when you shouldn't have been using. They're really worried about that. It's a situation where a lot of guys that need TRT need that because in years past, they may have abused steroids. They may have been doing things they shouldn't have been doing in other countries before they come here. So this is another step for the NSAC to say, hey, you know what? You can't use TRT yet, so don't lose your hormones, so to speak, using illegal steroids.
And this is a fact coming out of Nevada, is that no fighter has ever been granted a TUE exemption following a failed test for performance-enhancing drugs. So obviously, since Vitor has been dinged for that, this is why he probably will not get the exemption. So it raises a couple questions. One, will Vitor fight without TRT or a TUE, a testosterone replacement exemption, or will he push to move this to someplace where he will get one, a la Brazil, England, China, you know, any one of those places where he could probably get cleared for that? And would, more importantly, will Weidman take the fight if they move it?
Should Weidman get a say here? He is the champ in this situation. And again, I know that the champs can't always make the fights. That's not something you want to necessarily hand over to them. But this is a situation where I've said it before on the show, and I mentioned it in relation to Rich Franklin once when he had talked a little bit about getting a TRT exemption. And I mentioned Rich Franklin because I think it's clear on the show that I'm a huge fan of Rich and what he's been able to do in his fight career and what he's continuing to do. I mean, I know he's still out there and he's still kind of eyeing some big money fights here and there. I was one of the first guys to say I would be very disappointed if Rich Franklin were to continue to fight, even if he were to get a TRT exemption, even if that were to extend his career. It's a situation where when you're in the fight game, you're stepping inside a cage and you have to do what your body will do. You have to be able to train a certain way to get in there. You have to be able to fight a certain way once you're in there. And that comes down to what your body's going to do. If you're at a point in your career where your body's not producing enough hormones for you to do that, that tells me maybe you're done with that career. Fighting is not meant to be a career that you go and fight until you're 63 and you get Social Security. Fighting's not built that way.
No, it is not.
And if your body's trying to tell you in whatever ways it tells you, you should listen to your body. One of those ways is low testosterone for a guy who's been training for a long time. So I just wanted to reset that because I think people know I'm a big fan of Rich Franklin, and I was against him when he thought about doing it. He decided not to do it after a lot of the fan response. I'm also a guy that thinks if you're the champ, I don't think you should have to feel like you need to do something if the other guy's doing something. I know we've had discussions before, everybody's saying, give everybody steroids, it's a level playing field. Is it really in athletics? Is that something you want? Do you want this to be cycling where everybody's doping because if they don't dope, they're left behind, they're not able to compete?
Let's go back a couple weeks, Ken, when we talk about the Bigfoot Silva test. You know, Dana White came out and said, look, we went back, because obviously Dana can't keep track of all this stuff. They literally tested Bigfoot the Wednesday before the fight, and he was fine and took one more dose and then popped above the level. One more dose. So we're still at the point where this is so new, we're not even really sure how to use it. You know, here's a guy who went through all the tests. They checked him every week, and he was fine. Wednesday before the fight, you're totally fine. And then he gets one more treatment, and he blows above the level and obviously becomes a no contest.
And he's thinking about suing the doctors and all of these things. So
we talked about this. How is he supposed to? That's not his job to know that. The doctor is supposed to know that, but this is my point. You're kind of guessing.
Yeah, the doctors don't even know.
Right, because you don't know what testosterone is going to do in their body. You know, you put it in a guy like, and this is not meant to be a joke, this is legit. You put it into a guy like Overeem, obviously his body responds really well to that sort of thing.
Right.
He looks like a beast. You put it into a guy like Brock Lesnar, I'm assuming his body would respond really well to that sort of thing because he's a really built dude. And, you know, there's been lots of questions. Has he ever been on that stuff? And he's never been tested.
He's been tested a lot.
Never been popped. So it's hard to say. But again, like you said, do you want everybody on this stuff? I don't know. Does it make it a level playing field? No, not at all.
No. And that's the thing, too, is we don't know how to get to a level playing field. And Vitor Belfort and his camp, they've made it very clear. This is for his medical reasons. I don't care. You're in there in a fight. Medical reasons or not, you can't just take steroids and go into a fight and everybody's got to take steroids. It's unfair to a guy like Chris Weidman, too, a guy who's, you know, he's relatively young, 28, I believe, at this point.
Sure.
Is he a guy that's like, oh, man, I got to start taking steroids now if I want to defend my belt because we're going to go to England for this fight so that Vitor can fight me? That crosses a line, and I've really not liked the TRT thing in a lot of circumstances. I really, in a championship-level match, I don't think you can have it. I don't think it's fair to the champ. I don't think it's fair to the guy holding the belt. I don't think it's fair to all the other contenders in that division. I don't think you can keep letting guys have TRT and then let them fight for championships if the other guy's uncomfortable with it. Chris Weidman clearly is. He called out Belfort, and there were rumors that his camp said, okay, now we don't want it because, you know, you kind of put the light on it here.
Right.
It's different when you and I are talking about it, Eric, and we're on this MMA show, and people listen, and they download us, and we understand that a lot of people that listen to us, you're super fans. You like to consume the media in and around MMA, as we all do. When your champion starts saying things like that, SportsCenter picks up on it and goes, What's going on with this testosterone? You've got guys using steroids in the UFC. There's exemptions
legally
to do it.
Using steroids. Yeah.
What's the why? What, your champion's telling us about this when he does his sit down with Scott Van Pelt for 5 minutes. You think that's not a much bigger deal? That's a huge deal when mainstream gets a hold of it, and we're wondering, well, these guys are doping, they're not doping, they're on steroids, they're not on steroids, they're championship-level match. Vitor wins, it's because he was on steroids. That's none of that is fair to Chris Weidman, and I think there should be a bit of a champion's prerogative in this instance, wherever they fight, whether or not the commission wants it or not. I think the champion should be able to say, hey, I'm not going to fight a guy who's on steroids. And this every fighter's got that choice. Every fighter has that choice.
Sure.
Until you get to that championship level at this point. Because that's when we all start to say, hey, you got to defend the belt, whoever's number one. Whoever we want to see you fight against, you have to fight against. You're the champ. Come on, what's wrong with you? That's what the internet echo chamber begins to do. And in that instance, a fighter really has no choice. Chris Weidman's not going to have a choice if UFC says it's okay and they put the fight somewhere else. Because everybody's going to start saying, yeah, he's on TRT, but Weidman's ducking him. You know that's
well,
the case.
And the problem with this, and we talked about this in segment one when you weren't here, is you're still hearing Weidman. We played the crazy clip from Ed Soares saying that Weidman won the battle but didn't really beat Anderson Silva twice.
Twice!
You know, so you've got that going. So you have this echo chamber of people who really think he's, and this is not me saying this, but there's a fair amount of people who are essentially calling him a paper champion.
Well, which is ridiculous.
Yeah, he beat him twice, but I mean, he broke his leg and knocked him out. I mean, how can you really judge a fight by those two criterion?
Or the rounds that he won by putting the guy on the ground winning in the clinch.
What I'm saying to you is that in one way or another, yeah, he's got to take this fight because he's got to beat Vitor Belfort to shut this part up because the UFC has a tremendous opportunity at 185 with what a shark tank it's become. That could be a super exciting division with this bout out of the way. And so in one way or another, Weidman, yes, he's got to take this. He's got to fight Vitor, and he's got to do it wherever. The question just becomes, is Vitor going to suck it up and go to Nevada, even though they probably won't grant him one? Will they grant him one to make this happen? Will it move to Brazil?
I think this is a situation where UFC has to take the bullet, so to speak, for their champion. And they've done well on occasion, and I expect they'll do it here. And essentially what they're going to do, they may not say out loud that we don't want you using TRT, but what they're going to do is they'll want to book the fight in Vegas and say, hey, Chris Weidman's going to fight in Vegas in April. And if you want the bout, it's your bout, Vitor Belfort. And they're going to put it in his camp. And then it becomes a case where I think we'll still see Vitor. He may be cycling on and off. He may be doing what he has to do, but he'll at least be at the point where he's going to be clean for the fight, which sadly is the most fair thing we can get out of this at this point.
At this point, yes. And I want to make it clear, he can get licensed anywhere. Vitor Belfort can fight anywhere. The crux of this argument is he can't get the exemption anywhere.
Right.
By that, I mean he's been popped for performance-enhancing drugs, so therefore Nevada is a place that he cannot get licensed for the exemption. He can get licensed to fight. He can take this fight tomorrow.
Right.
You know, he just can't get...
Yeah, it's not in Nevada, Vitor's not fighting.
Correct.
In Nevada, Vitor's not fighting with an exemption to use TRT.
With Santa's little helper. That's
right,
what
yes.
He's not going to be fighting with that. Okay, UFC on Fox 10 this weekend. Follow along with us on Twitter and Facebook. Search WOW Show. And as always, Joe will set up the contest where if you get the most picks right, you will walk away with some stuff. We'll do it again next weekend with the Super Bowl card. And follow along with our guest this week, who was Kevin Lee. Motown Phenom. You can find him on Facebook by searching the Motown Phenom. Also find him on Twitter by searching the Motown Phenom as well.
So he didn't big time us the 1 week I wasn't here early?
He did not big time us. And as I said earlier in the show, follow him now because you don't want to be the one that follows him Sunday morning after his victory.
Ooh, it's going to be big.
You don't want to be that guy. It's Way of the Warrior. I love Bam Bam. That's my problem.
Way of the